the Diamond Discussions Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast. Alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo, I'm Mike Caliendo. So before we really dive into everything that we want to, our teams being terrible and then ironically both winning tonight 7-1, we have to address the trivia question as we always do. So Joe, if you can, remind everybody what the question was and what the answer is.
What's going on, everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing good and staying cool in this disgusting heat wave that we've been having on the East Coast. So 2 weeks ago, yes, I also want to apologize for the little hiatus that we took. It was definitely not a premeditated hiatus. Life gets in the way, and we just haven't been able to link up and get an episode out. So we apologize to everybody listening. I know a couple of people hit me up and were like, it's been 2 weeks. What the hell's going on? So I'd like to apologize for leaving people on edge. We didn't mean to. Like I said, life gets in the way. We got small kids that basically run our lives. So,
yeah, pretty much.
So we'd like to apologize for that. But
also, if you don't, I could be real for just a moment and really give you guys some real stuff to this. You and I actually tried to do an episode about Rafael Devers about, what, six, seven, 8 days ago?
Yeah.
I fell asleep during that recording. I was awake. Well, no, my eyes were closed. My mouth was moving. Words were coming out, but they made no sense.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we got to stop. Like
It's actually pretty funny because you got through the whole thing. And in the last 10 minutes, I thought maybe you were drinking and I didn't realize. Anyway.
No, it was bad. It was bad. So listen, guys, we have been putting in work. It hasn't been good or coherent. So I just,
right,
yeah, so that's also part of it. But yeah, listen, the kids, the weather, the work, outside life, it's wild. I'm sure you
But guys we're back know. And we hope everybody's doing well. So
did you miss us?
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, the question was, how many three strikeout games did Tony Gwynn have in his career? And the answer is, absurdly, it's just once.
It's insane.
So, I mean, the fact that batting average was something that was valued back then, to me, that's the one thing missing in baseball. I think batting average needs to be... It needs to be, viewed as important. I think kids playing this game that are coming up, I don't think that's something that they're taught. I really don't. I think other things are taught, and that's all great, and they got to know the basics. But having a good batting average is almost a lost art. And Tony Gwynn was a guy that was just never going to hit 250. He would have never went for that. I don't even think he saw a lot of 3-2 counts in his career. I think that was another stat that I saw. He was just relentless, and his style of hitting is what I loved. He didn't have much power, but he was a great hitter. And I think if I wanted my son to emulate someone at the plate, I would literally show him Tony Gwynn videos. Honestly, that's just, you can't get more professional than that.
No.
And he was just something else to watch. So I had the privilege of getting to see him in the World Series, which was pretty cool. Cause you obviously in the National League, I'm sure you remember him from some games against the Mets,
but I didn't get to see
much of Tony Gwynn. So when we got to face him in the World Series, being obviously a fan of the Yankees in the American League, they didn't really do interleague play the way they do it now, where all these teams are, integrated into the schedule. So it was pretty cool to get to see him play. And he was just something else. And I don't think we're ever going to see a hitter like him. I think Ichiro was probably the closest to him. But other than that, I don't see somebody ever being close to him.
And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Ichiro, but like you said, Ichiro was probably the closest to him, but I almost still feel like Gwynn was just way ahead, because just some of his stats and his, it's like video game. You almost can't believe it.
Right.
I think the whole decade of the 90s, just so you get a decade, 10 years, this guy struck out less than Kyle Schwarber did all last season.
That's incredible.
It's honestly, it really is.
He's really one incredible.
Of the most ridiculous hitters that to ever, you know, walk the face of the earth. And, you know, obviously he passed on a few years back, and
right.
It was a horrible thing because I've heard nothing but great things about him as a person. I've heard he's a wonderful human being. So, you know, that's an unfortunate thing. But I want to shout out all of you guys, our viewers, our loyal listeners, the ones that have been mad at us over the last couple of days that we haven't dropped a new episode. But look, we have been pushing the whole comment section with the trivia and just anything in general. You guys know my little spiel that I do. Listen, you guys have been rising to the occasion, so I just want to thank you for that. I want to shout out some of you in the comment section. Our boy LJ, Brew Crew, our boy Ben, your brother is another one, and our boy Fuzzy, because we challenged him. And I'm just giving you all guys a shout out because you guys actually got all you got the trivia question right. So, you know, we've done that here and there. We shout you guys out. So that was great. But we challenged Fuzzy that you know, we would halt production of Rainbow Bagels if he didn't get this question right, or at least write it in the comment section. Not only did he do that, he then sent me a massively long Facebook message going into full detail about this game that Gwynn struck out 3 times. He gave me the picture, the location, the time of day, how many birds were flying in the air. I mean, it was genuinely spectacular. Little side note and bonus points for Fuzz. Bob Welsh was the pitcher that got to do it against Tony Gwynn. So if you guys didn't know that, it's a little more,
a little added history. That's nice.
And you know what? Fuzzy gets to have Rainbow Bagels still. So, you know, we didn't call
it off, Fuzz. The production continues. So congratulations.
Absolutely. And just like our production continues, even though we disappeared for a little bit, we are here.
We're here.
Our teams haven't been.
No, they've been MIA. I've been looking for them. What about yours? Have you been looking for your team?
I can't find them anywhere. I think I found them tonight. I think so. I don't know. They showed up like a week ago in Philly. The offense exploded, and then it was like, all right, this is a sign. It's like when you're sitting at a restaurant and a salad gets put on in front of you. It's like, all right, this is a sign that good things are about to happen. I'm not going to move. You know. So that was the Mets exploded. For 10 or 11 runs, they hit 7 home runs against Philly, and it was like, all right, the slump is over, and we went right back into it. I don't know who the imposters have been, but I think we're hopefully past it.
And the funny thing is about the Mets, and it seems like this would happen to them, is that Juan Soto would get hot when they're struggling.
I think it's just been the perfect storm to the way this is all gone.
And it was like when they were winning consistently to start the season – he was obviously having his struggles, but everybody else was picking up the slack. Mm-hmm. And Mark Vientos had said it best, if he comes around and we're playing well, it's only going to be even better.
Yeah,
that never happened. And now here comes the slump, but here comes Soto, who's having a phenomenal June. He'll probably win player of the month in the NL. And he actually may win player of the week. I think he's got 4 home runs.
Yeah, he hit 2 more tonight.
So, interesting.
With that, Soto becomes the all-time leader in multi-home run games under the age of 27.
That's insane.
People wonder why he got paid the big bucks. I mean, his OPS is up there with Mickey Mantle and Jimmy Fox. I mean, he's doing things like this. So, you know, I know everybody likes to say, oh, the Mets overspent for a DH who just walks all the time. No, he does a lot of, there are a lot of offensive records and a lot of things that he's in categories of some major talent and some of the league's best we've ever seen. You know, so that's why he got paid the salary he did. Let's be honest. So,
and now you have a slumping Alonso and there's other guys in the lineup that are struggling. But the biggest news to me when it came to you guys was Franky Alvarez and Luis Angel Acuña getting sent down. I'm not a Met fan, but I thought it was the smart thing to do. If that was a David Stearns thing, I thought it was a good call. If that was a collective thing, I thought it was a good call. Alvarez looked like he was swinging out of his shoes. I have you to thank because I watch Met games now. I don't know.
How you doing?
I don't even know why I admit that on radio, but
LJ, I got him.
But no, I watch it just to, you know, just to keep up and see what's going on. And I noticed that he was literally swinging for the fences, and I also felt like his head wasn't even on the ball.
No.
Like his eyes weren't even literally on the ball. He was just swinging for luck and just hopefully he would make it, you know, and hopefully get a hit. And when it came to Acuna, I just think he needed a reset, literally. I think he just needed to take a deep breath, get sent down, and go refine some things. But when it came to Alvarez, I think Alvarez, he needs a whole restructure of that swing. It's too wild. It's too forceful. I think he's trying to do too much. And I don't know if that's what you're seeing, but that's definitely what I was seeing.
Yeah. So, I mean, in spring training, I commented on this and I gave him his flowers on his adjustments at the plate and his batting stance and how he looked a little more poised and he wasn't wiggling the bat as much. And he was more just looked more confident. And that seems to not be the case. Now, I don't know if it's overly confident that he feels he could just, you know, I could do whatever I want type of thing. I don't know what's really happening there, but I mean, you hit the nail on the head. He's swinging out of his shoes. He looks like the postseason version of Alvarez again. You know, that's just trying to make that magical moment happen. And he's not letting the game come to him. It seems like he's trying to force things and make things happen, which, listen, I understand his talent. He can make things happen, but he's got to pick and choose. You know, it's you got to let the game slow down and come to you. And it seems like it was just going way too fast. So, like you said, even with him, Acuna, let's hit the reset button, go down, work on your mechanics, because you know what? It's not like the Mets could really afford that to tinker with that right now while they're in the midst of a major losing streak and look as bad as they've done all season where we can kind of play with this. We need guys to, you know, hit and produce. Like, you know, we're desperate for wins at this point. We want to get out of this. So,
but I don't think this would have been a good move in August though.
No, of course
not. The time is now to get these guys right. So if you have to send them down, go ahead, send them down. So
yeah, I agree with that.
And what was the whole point of signing Richard Lovelady or whatever this guy's name was if they were going to DFA him in a day? And then didn't they just sign another guy?
Yeah, and they brought up
two and they kids. DFA'd him.
Yeah. They are – it seems like they're – playing around with
they're just trying to make the roster. Yeah, it looks like they're making roster moves just to see how they work, kind of right now.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, this one kid he pitched tonight, he looked decent, straight from double A. The Lovelady thing, I don't understand. Was he here to eat an inning and a half? An inning and, you know, what was that?
Yeah, I don't get
it. He gave up two runs and then he gets DFA'd. I mean, I guess it's hopefully that he clears waivers and goes down to AAA and then they can call him back up. And by the way, the kid that they called up that I was referring to was Jonathan Pintaro. He looked all right. A little wild towards the end. Diaz ended up having to come into the game and get the final out. But he looked decent. I was impressed. He got his first strikeout as a major leaguer, so that was impressive. I like that. You know what? Like I said, I think they're playing around with the pitching staff. They're trying to maybe tinker with some things, find the answers. And the Lovelady thing, that was a fun story because I think you were very close to buying a Met jersey.
Yeah. that guy, let me tell you. Interesting name. Anyway, I would have thought he was in a totally different business, but we'll get to that later. anyway, another blow is Sean Manaea. I mean, that was not expected. I didn't think he was going to hit this little bump in the road, which is this going to cost him a season, Mike, or what? Like, what's going to go on now with him?
I mean, it's entirely possible. I mean, supposedly he's going to pick back up in another week or so. But he's another one. He's hitting the reset button. So at this point, I'm almost going to get to the mindset that I don't expect to see him. And it's not that I truly believe that that's going to be a thing, but I just want to get my mindset prepared for that. So I'm not disappointed if he doesn't show up this year at all.
Now, you think they go out and look for a pitcher deadline?
Yeah. I mean
if he's out for the season, if he's genuinely out for the season, you can't rely just on Kodai Senga.
No, I mean you're gonna need another guy. Top line stuff to get through a deep playoff run, especially in the National League. I mean, at some point you're gonna have to imagine that you're gonna face the Dodgers, and if you're not facing the Dodgers, you're gonna face the team that knocked out the Dodgers. So, you know, they're gonna have to do something. There's been obviously a lot of speculation, and you know, I know you brought this up to me yesterday that. You know, they're talking about Andrew Heaney.
Andrew Heaney. And they just picked up Pablo Reyes, which was an interesting move from the Yankees. The Yankees DFA'd him and they picked him up. There's not really a lot of upside with him defensively.
And I think he's just a filler spot in AAA.
It could be. Yeah, it could be.
That piece come up and start for a day or, you know, getting that back. I don't know. I don't see much from him happening. They've made a lot of moves. I mean, a lot of teams do. I mean, at one point, I think the Mets signed Nico Goodrum to a minor league deal, and that I don't think panned out. You know, so they're taking flyers on some guys, and I think it's just to fill a roster space and maybe just a little depth just in case to have a veteran presence. Maybe Reyes could, you know, work with Acuna or something or some of these guys down there. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's veteran presence. That's about all I got because I don't see Reyes coming up to the major leagues. I don't. And if he does, right. It's going to be for a cup of coffee and maybe half a bagel.
Right, exactly.
I don't see it being long.
My whole thing as well with this situation is that if they don't for some reason perform well in Triple A to get back going again, is that going to be concerning to you? I personally think if this takes more than a month to get back on track, I think that's going to be concerning at some point. You have two guys now that you have expected to be in the lineup, didn't expect to get sent down. We're going to be everyday guys. And now let's say we're towards the end of July now and they're not ready to get back up. What's going to happen? I personally think that's a disaster waiting to happen, if that's how you want to look at it.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to be because, you know, I've mentioned this on here. I'm a big Luis Angel Acuna fan. Me and my father have had these conversations where once he came up, he wasn't going back down. Well, we were wrong.
Right.
You know, like you said, he hit a wall and got to reset. I know that seems to be the theme tonight, but I mean, am I going to be concerned? Yeah, I'm going to be because, you know, Acuna, I'm very high on. Alvarez, I mean, he's been this top-tier prospect that, you know, how many trade offers were there that they turned down for this kid? And is this another Fernando Martinez type of situation? I don't think so.
I'm not as worried as I am for Acuna as I am for Alvarez. I think Alvarez is the major problem here.
Yeah,
Acuna, it's literally he's 3 months into his major league career.
Yeah,
of experiencing a full season. Yeah. I think you'd have to be more panicky about Alvarez not panning out right now.
Absolutely, definitely the concern. I want to see what he was working on in spring training. I want to see him do that in AAA, and I want to see him just sound and hone in on his craft because even defensively, he started to struggle, and that's been one of his other strong suits. I mean, the fact that he's got power behind the plate, but he calls a fantastic game. There was a blip there. He basically stuck up for his pitcher in a moment. I forget the exact moment that it happened, but there was a pitch that was called, and it was tanked, and Alvarez took the heat for it. He said, no, I was calling for this, and the pitcher originally called for that, and I shook him off and said, no, we're going to do this. And you know what? The pitching staff of the Mets, they trust him because he's so smart behind the plate. And I feel like maybe his offensive struggles have now turned the tides and have gotten to him on the defensive end, calling a game. You know, I mean, he's not a Yadier Molina type, but he's no slouch behind the plate throwing guys right out.
But he's trying to overcompensate defensively to make up for his offense.
Yeah, so you know what? I think with him right now, you know, Cunha's kind of a light reset. I think Alvarez is kind of that hard reset. We got to almost completely rewire you right now because you're just not right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I just in the style of play, it looked like he was just pressing every time he was at the plate. Yep. And then, like you said, I think maybe he was actually thinking about his next at bat while he was behind the dish. I think defensively he might have not even been focusing
on his last at bat.
Right. Know? Or yeah, thinking about his last at bat. Right. And Acuña, like you said, it's a youth thing. He's young. He's going through some major league struggles. The power has not been there. The RBI production has not been there. The average was a little low. The defense could have been a little bit better. That's all things you could fix. Alvarez, that's things you don't want to see happen in year three, but here we are. So,
and people forget how young he is, Alvarez.
Right.
22?
Right. 22, 23. Yeah. So, I mean, you could work with him, but it's still concerning to the point where you don't want to regress to those types of issues that he's having.
Yeah, because he had the injury. We dealt with
that. Which is a crazy injury. That injury is tough to come back from and be 100%.
Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he's just, he's not all there, and maybe it's an overcompensation. And, that's kind of the gist that I'm getting out of this. The whole, he's trying to, like I said before, he's trying to make something happen. He's trying too hard to make something
happen. I agree with that.
Dude, just let's calm down. Let's relax. Let the game come to you,
Now, as far as the pitching hasn't been too great either.
It's been up and down. It's more the bullpen. To be honest, outside of Edwin Diaz, it's definitely been the bullpen.
And this is what I was alluding to before the season started. I said, I don't really have an issue with the Mets' quality of starting pitching. I had an issue with the amount of length that they could give. And a lot of the Mets' starting pitchers lately have been able to get through six, and they haven't even actually been able to get through five.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the bullpen having to go through a little bit of a rough patch because now they're being used a lot more? Me personally, I think they just look gassed, and they need some of the starters to have two good days where they're not called upon in the fifth inning, the sixth inning.
Well, Brazelman, for example, he's definitely been a catalyst to that. He's been terrible, honestly. I think his ERA is over 12 over his last like eight appearances.
But he was good to start the season.
He was fantastic.
So to me, I think it's an overusage thing. That's just my opinion.
I feel like there was definitely a couple times where he was in a game where it's like, really got to use him right now? Like, you got no other options. A couple other guys, Kranick was another one. He started off the year great, and he's kind of been falling off a cliff. There's just been – I think Kranick's hurt now. Obviously, the blow with A.J. Minter was huge to this bullpen. Look, the deadline, I think that's going to be – pitching is going to be top priority come the deadline. I think a premium left-hander, if available or whatever you can get at this point, a left-hander is a need and a must.
They need a left-handed bullpen piece, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're about to get Brooks Raley back. It could be in the next 10 days, 10 to 15 days. He's been throwing in rehab. He's been looking good. That's a great sign. Outside of him, I would like another option, because then you would have had potentially Raley and Minter and the bullpen. That would have been a nice tandem. Been happy with that. Losing Minter for the season was huge. The high leverage lefty that's been there, done that. That was huge. To me, that's number one. With the potential of Manaea not being a thing, I mean, you got to hope one of these teams fall off the face of the earth in the next couple of weeks come the trade deadline. I want a top-end starter. I'm sorry, I do. It's going to cost you, depending on who you go get.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to cost you.
Yeah, so I mean,
at least two prospects are going to be off the board.
Yeah, so I mean, look, this is the price you pay when you make a run for the World Series. It's just the way it goes, So let's figure out. I almost don't mind, as frustrating as it is to see the team struggle as much as they are right now. I don't necessarily. I'm seeing it where the glass is refillable. That's how I like to view things. I might have mentioned that once or twice on our show, but I'd rather do this now before the deadline. Let's see really what our problems are going into it. As of now, we are a playoff team. We're 12 games over 500. We're back in the win column. Let's see what our issues are pre-deadline. Make our adjustments and do what we have to do. That's where I'm at. I'm not, I'm not Frank the Tank ripping and biting at my clothes and glasses and throwing a fit because they've been terrible. Yeah, it's frustrating losing to the Braves and the Phillies. Yeah, it pisses me off that I got to argue with Braves and Philly fans. Some one of our friends is a Braves fan, and you know, he's trolling me in the comments. You know, all right. You're telling me how bad my team is, and your team can't even beat us.
But you also have some Met fans sitting. You have some Met fans who, I don't want to say they're brainless, but the comments that I've been seeing the last couple of days, blow the team up. Blow the team up. What do you mean, blow the team up? Oh, we got to trade all these prospects. We got to get big start. Trade all the prospects? No. I don't know about that. No. I mean, it's really amazing. And this is both sides now. This is not just Mets fans. This is Yankees and Mets fans. One bad week could have people acting fools. Acting like a fool.
You know what? It runs the potential, and I've seen it on both sides.
It's ridiculous to me. It's one bad week. Like, yes, I know. It's something that you don't want to see. It's unacceptable. Sometimes the style of play, the Yankees' problem, getting guys on base and not getting them in. I know that's been a huge issue. I know the Mets, obviously, with their pitching. But it's all things that you could overcome. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at the amount of injuries both teams have had to go through and are still top teams in their respective leagues and divisions. So I think both fans, both fan bases need to calm down a little bit when it comes to hitting the panic button as opposed to hitting the reset button.
Yeah.
This is just a reset. June. It's a struggle. It happens. We go through funks. You go through slumps. You go through guys playing bad. Sometimes you got three or four guys not hitting at the same time. Sometimes you have four or five guys not pitching at the same time good enough. And that's where you slump as a team. But you have to overcome it. It's a 162-game season for a reason. If it was an 82-game season, I'd say both teams are in trouble right now as the season ends.
Well, I'll get to the point of, I guess, panic if this rides through the All-Star break, which I don't think with either one of our teams that we root for, I don't think that's the case. They have the talent that says otherwise. The ship will be right at some point. You know, it's
right. And are we going to let 10 days overshadow 3 months?
No. No, I'm not going to do it.
Both teams played three good months of baseball. I'm not going to let a 12-game, 16-game span ruin my first 75 games. I'm not going to let that happen. Now, if this is something, like you said, stretches out for another 2 to 3 weeks, I'd say, wow, this is a month of straight bad baseball now. We'd be going – that would be a full month. But
yeah, because that's – to me, that's a full-on collapse at that point.
Does anybody remember what happened to the Yankees last year? The Yankees were horrible for about a month and a half, 2 months.
Short-term memory.
Still won the division, went to the World Series. Guys, like, it happens. Good teams struggle.
Even teams that don't appear to be good to start the year change things. It happens.
Right.
Look at the Braves team that won the World Series a few years ago. Right. They were abysmal going into the All-Star break, going into the trade deadline. They made a couple of moves. They added Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler. Completely changed their season. Turned it around. The 2015 Mets go out and get Yoenis Cespedes, Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe. They call up Michael Conforto, and it's a whole different team. I mean, you know, it just – this is, like you said, 162 games. What good team plays solid, sound, perfect baseball all year long?
None. No team.
I mean, what are we talking about here? Then you're talking about a team that goes 162-0. And I don't know. I don't want to root for that team because they'll probably get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, exactly. What are
you
saying?
I mean, look, I could understand the frustration, right? But yeah. I also don't understand the frustration at the same time.
The frustration is frustrating me.
You know who should be frustrated? Colorado Rockies fans.
Yeah, that's
it. Could be bad that way. You want it to be bad that way? Their season was over before the season started.
Yeah.
Take it as it is. It is what it is. Take it as it is.
How about Pirates fans? Pirates fans, you get the best pitcher on the planet right now. Yep. And you can't even win a game for him. The White Sox, do I even have to get into it? Even though we are going to discuss the White Sox, not really so much the team, but the fan base. Not fan base, one fan. But, I mean.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse. Met fans, let us know in the comment section. Are you hitting the panic button? Are we hitting the reset button? Are we blowing the team up? What are we doing? Where are we at? Are you on the side where, listen, it's a long season. Things like this happen, you know? Did maybe I give some of you Met fans some clarity into this slump that we've been in? Let us know in the comment section. We want to hear from you. We want to see it. It helps push the podcast on to people that we don't know. And maybe we get some new friends that could, you know, hang out and listen with us and you know, come up with some crazy takes in our comments. Because
I'm really curious to see Met fans because I was watching a clip from the Sal Licata and the Brandon Tierney show earlier today, and a caller had called and said that the team now, the Mets team, has no balls.
Yeah, this guy went nuts.
He went absolutely crazy. Now, I mean, like you said, you're 13 games over 500. What? I'm so confused about what you guys want. Right, so you finally have success, a little bit of success, right? This is the longest stretch in the last year and a half for a long time that the Mets have been good. It was all of the second half last year. After that 22-35 start, you guys were the best team in baseball for 2.5 months. Leading up to this year, you've been a top 7 or 8 team in baseball to start the year, even with this slump. What's it going to take? Do you guys not expect to slump ever again now that you've tasted a little success? You have to expect this is going to happen.
I don't think that's what it is, and I'll tell you what it is, especially with that caller. It is like, it's just a wound dealing with the Braves that it just seems the Mets, that they can't get past the Braves. We've been dealing with this, honestly, since, I mean,
okay, the debacle of 99. But in regards to that, the slump happened before you guys met the Braves. You've been slumping before you – it's not like you've won 9 of 10 and then got swept by Atlanta. You guys were 1-9 going into this Atlanta series.
They played the Braves last week. This is the second time we're playing them.
Right, but you've been slumping since then.
They weren't 1-9 going into that Braves series.
No, this series, I'm saying they were 1-9 going.
Yeah, part of that 1-9 was playing the Braves in Atlanta, and it's that's part of a Met fan thing where we have this scary, weary thing going down to Atlanta that it's just we seem to not win down there. I know they got into the playoffs last year on the Lindor home run in Atlanta on that doubleheader, but it's just there's something about going down to Atlanta that just completely defeats a Met fan. Where when we lose to them,
but to ruin the season, this guy had the season over, blow up the team, it's got to end. I don't get how
it's the scoring rules of dealing with Atlanta.
That's really okay, so then say that you're frustrated that you can't beat Atlanta.
That would mean a sound, coherent thought. I mean, you heard this guy. let's be honest here.
But that's what I'm saying. So that guy is going to be highlighted because of his crazy sentiment there. But what I'm saying is if there's other Met fans that feel that way, they shouldn't feel that way. And I would say the same things for Yankee fans. The Red Sox and the Rays, they always play as tough. Do I expect them to, and the Orioles, do I expect the Yankees to steamroll through those teams? No.
I want to, but no.
The Yankees are 10-12 against the AL East this year. It's not horrible, but it's not good. But it's what you expect.
I got a challenge for you.
It's what you expect, though.
You got to look at the Mets record on the road in Atlanta, and that's why the Mets fans crash out the way that they do. When we go down there and it doesn't go well.
Okay, but don't let it generalize your entire season for what you've done up to this point. Get mad that you just can't beat Atlanta. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to say you can't let 6 bad games against Atlanta. So what are you guys, 1-5 against them right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And the Yankees are the same.
Against Boston, right?
Yeah. So am I going to lose my mind? No. Because guess what? At the end of the day, Atlanta's probably not going to make the playoffs. And if they do, it's going to be a wild card. By the skin of their teeth. And I know Boston's not going to be anywhere near there. So I'm not worried about losing to teams that play as hard every year. And neither should Met fans. yes, I know you guys want to get over the hump. You got the team to do it now. Atlanta's been struggling, and going 1-5 against them is unacceptable. I get it, but don't let it ruin the season as a whole.
No. But I do understand it, because it's just, there's just like a, it's hard to fully describe, if I'm being honest. It's just, listen, there's something about going down there that it's just don't sit right, and then they play bad, and it's bad memory type of thing, you know.
I get it. I totally get it.
PTSD from being down there. It's a frustrating thing. So that's where I could not fully understand it, because I'm not going to go full crash out on something like this, because again, sound and coherent. But that's why I could understand that Met fans' frustration. I could almost sympathize with it, at least. I don't fully agree with where he was blow up the team and do all this nonsense. I mean, he said a lot of outlander. He said, "Where's Soto? Soto's been the best hitter in baseball."
Yeah, has he not?
I mean, has he not? So do you just look at scores? Do you look at nothing else? I mean, come on. Some of that is ridiculous, but
yeah, hey,
you know, Met fans, if you're going to crash out like that, I mean, that would be pretty fun to read. And we could talk about it, but I don't think we're at that point. I mean, so I'm going to flip it over to you now and your team with your struggles. I mean, you got to be frustrated, just as frustrated as I am. But again, sound coherent mind, we understand the length of the season. All right. So where are you right now?
Well, I mean, the last 16 games have been pretty bad. We're 4-12. If this was a football season, we wouldn't make the playoffs. I'll tell you that much.
You'd be the New York Jets.
We'd be right, exactly.
And the Giants, honestly. Four
is too much for the Jets.
Wow.
Four is too much. I'm a Jet fan, I'll have to say.
You're a Jet fan. But I'm a Giant fan. I think three is too much. But then
when it comes to crashing out, I'm not crashing out. I'm 37 years old. I've been watching this team since I'm six. I'm not going to crash out over a bad 15, 16 games. But what I will say is I'm starting to lose my patience with Anthony Volpe a little bit.
Oh, that's rightfully so.
And I have a couple of reasons why. And I feel like some Yankee fans that I've talked to, they agree with me, but they see more of an upside. I don't see the upside. So I'll just get right into it. Anthony Volpe leads all shortstops in the American League with 9 errors.
Okay.
His overall game was supposed to be that he's this elite defender.
That was at least a backup plan if the bat doesn't work. So
yeah. Right. So I was at the game last week against the Angels. First and third one out. Ground ball, double play. Tailor-made. Doesn't charge the ball. Ball bounces off his chest. Tries to make the throw to second. Throws it away. Yankees lose the game. We can't have a guy who's a quote-unquote gold glover losing us games in the field. Unacceptable. Because if you're going to hit 231 and not be able to hit a
Ordóñez in the field.
And not be able to hit a fastball, you better be Omar Vizquel, Ray Ordóñez, Ozzy Smith. You better be somebody with the glove.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And the 9 errors is alarming to me. That's not where we want to be right now.
So I got to ask you, before you go on to your next point about Volpe, could you think that it's maybe a similar Francisco Alvarez type of thing, where maybe his frustrations at the plate are starting to get to him in the field?
1,000%.
Okay.
1,000%. I think this is mental. I think I've seen it on him a lot more this year. For example, if he grounds out into a double play, you see he's visibly upset. And it's now getting to look like visible frustration, which is something he didn't show previously. So now you can see it's kind of getting to him, and it's definitely getting to him in the field. Another thing that a lot of Yankee fans haven't noticed that I've been bringing up, that my brother actually noticed when we were at the game, he's on first base against the Angels, and he takes this awkward... It's a secondary lead. That's what we're going to call it, because it's his secondary lead. But okay, the way I was taught to take a secondary lead wasn't to look like a kangaroo.
What?
He's hop-stepping. He's taking...
I'm sorry?
So he's Picture it like this. You're on first base. You take your first lead, right?
Right.
Your primary lead. His secondary lead, instead of making it look like he's going to stride into a full-blown running motion, he's jumping in the air and waiting to land and then run.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Look it up.
I have to look at this.
Look it up. And if you don't believe me, look up the last game that he got caught stealing it against the Angels.
The Wednesday game?
Guess what his numbers are stolen base-wise.
I think he's close to like 50-50, no?
He's 8 for 15. He's been caught stealing 7 times.
That's not
with
good.
With eight. No, this is supposed to be a guy that gets on base. It's supposed to be a base stealing threat. How is that going to happen if you're getting thrown out? And not only is he getting thrown out, he's getting thrown out. If you're in the grandstands, you could see it before the ump even makes the call. Wow. We're talking about like, oh, he's out. Not like, ooh, that was close. Like, oh, no, he's literally getting tagged out. And it's so clear. So that's not good when you're getting thrown out and there's, you can like literally see it from the parking lot. 8-15 is unacceptable. 9 errors is unacceptable. Hitting 231 is unacceptable. This is year 3. What are we going to see when year 5 comes along and that arbitration comes and they want to renegotiate? I'm sorry, if Anthony Volpe is playing the way he's playing right now in year 5, I don't want him on my team.
Here's $4. That's what we're offering. I mean, no. So wait, now I honestly have a genuine question, because the comparison to Alvarez has been a thing. Year 3, we're having maybe some of the similar issues here. Do the Yankees consider sending down Volpe?
I think if it get okay, you know what's saving him? The 44 RBIs.
Okay.
Because he's literally on pace for 90. That's crazy. Which is to me, it's wild. It's absolutely absurd to think he may finish with 80 plus RBIs.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
He's got 9 home runs, which means he's probably on pace for 18. Which is going to save him.
So no hard reset would fault me.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. What I think the Yankees are going to do is they're going to say, you know what? George Lombard needs a year and a half, and that's what we're going to give you. Here's what I think is going to happen.
They give him that long?
Well, listen, he's got 2.5 years left. Forget the year and a half. This is just my opinion.
Yeah, but they're not paying him much. You can get rid of him and not even think about it.
What, Volpe?
Yeah.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is Lombard needs about a year and a half to get called up.
Right. That's fair. So you think they're just gonna ride with Volpe for that time?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Here's why I say that. If the Yankees win, if they're winning divisions, what do you mean? He wasn't that great last year. They went to the World Series. That's what they're going to look at. They're going
to
say, you know
what? Now he's getting to the point where his defense is costing you games.
That's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
But if the Yankees are winning a division and win a pennant, they'll deal with it for the next 2 years. They'll deal with that. And they'll try to make the team stronger around him. That's number one. Number two, George Lombard, let's say he gets called up, he'll play third. That could potentially light a fire under Volpe.
Okay, if he knows.
You know why?
Threat, yeah.
Because if that doesn't work out with Volpe, and it's time that he could become a free agent, and the Yankees don't have full control of him anymore, you slide Lombard right to short, which is his natural position. And you see you later, Volpe. Thank you for the memories. You go out. You find the third baseman, and you call it a day. Or you move Jazz Chisholm there. He's very good at third base. I have no problem with Jazz at third. That's literally an option. But Yankee fans, you have to understand, that if he doesn't play well throughout the rest of this rookie deal, he may not be a Yankee. He may not be able to be a good enough Yankee to man the infield. Shortstop, and Mike, you know this, is the biggest position in the infield.
Yeah.
You are the captain of the infield when you play shortstop.
Yeah.
If you're not going to play the caliber of defense that your team needs you to play on top of your offensive struggles, there may not be a spot for you here. That is the God's honest truth. I don't want to hear from Yankee fans and say, oh, no, that's crazy. How could you think that? He'll be fine. He'll be fine. I've gone through 2.5 years of hearing he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a career 229 hitter. Is that what we wanted from a first-round pick?
No.
This is a first-round pick. This is a guy that we took in the first round over Gunnar Henderson, a man who's hitting 285.
Yeah.
Who plays better defense.
Yeah, that's
tough. And when I mentioned this last week, I caught flack for it because I'm defending another player that wasn't a Yankee. Well, guess what?
Oh, stop.
I'm a realist.
Oh, my God.
I'm a realist.
So no Yankee ever could ever struggle, and when they do, we're just going to pretend that it doesn't exist because...
No, because he's a young player. He's a young player. That's why I got criticism. On.
You know what's crazy to me, honestly, the biggest thing with Volpe, and this was just wild. Do you know he's top 10 in the MLB in jersey sales?
He's a likable guy. That's fun. That stuff...
That's just weird to me.
You know what it is? Yankee fan, there's a lot of Yankee fans all over. You got Yankee fans West Coast, Yankee fans East Coast, you got Yankee fans in the South. Maybe there's some states that don't have a team, that don't know much about baseball, and they gravitate to the biggest name, the biggest brand. I can understand that. I can live with that. I don't really care about that. I care about producing on the field. I don't care about what some little Jabba kid wearing number 11 on his back. I don't really care about that idiot. That doesn't know anything.
Oh, man. Well, right, look, I'm not saying it's like the end all
be all. Are we gonna be accepting of a 229 hitter who's leading the league in errors?
Yeah,
as our number one pick?
Your fan base is proving that. They are willing to accept it. So I was also at that Angels series. Same day, actually. I was there, too. Yes. I did a little bouncing around. No, LJ, it was not there to be converted. So you guys know, real quick, side note. I've mentioned it before. Old friend of mine that I used to work with, his son, Christian Moore, got called up to the big leagues, and he made his debut in Baltimore, and then they came to New York. So I had to go. Had to be a thing. So... got to see an old friend, a couple of us from work. We all went, got to see him play, hit a single that night. So that was my main focal point of, being there, catching up with some of the guys, some of the retired guys, things like that. So, shout out Christian Moore, friend of the show, whether he knows it or not, maybe we'll get him up here one day.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah. I got to see if I could pull that off. I'll work on that. So I was also at that series and, it was, I'm paying not more attention, but you hear things. And now I'm hearing the Yankee fans in their domain. And when that error happened, guys in my section.
It's frustrating.
The guys in my section were abusing somebody for wearing a Volpe jersey. I thought,
dude, that I'm telling was you,
it, wild.
And I have to say, when about Yankee fans, when you don't perform consistently, they actually give you enough rope for you to hang yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 2.5 years now, and now the defense is starting to slack. Yankee fans don't want to see that. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're not going to hit, you got to play defense, man. And now you can't steal bases? What's going on here?
You said he's jumping around like a kangaroo. I don't know.
And I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you, Mike. I really didn't notice it. And I was questioning why his base stealing numbers were atrocious. And then my brother was like, do you see what he looks like out there? It looks like he got bit by a crocodile jumping out of the water. And I said, no, I never really noticed that. And then I swear it was like out of a movie. He goes to take this absurd secondary lead. He goes to steal and got thrown out by a mile, a country mile. I go to 25 games a year. I watch every night. I know what I'm talking about. I don't want to be told I'm losing my mind. You know what I'm losing my mind over? How he's playing.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Tonight against the Reds, game three of the series, you know what he did with a runner on third and one out? He hit a fly ball. There you go, buddy. You did something small. Do the little things right. You're not Derek Jeter. You'll never be Derek Jeter. Stop trying to be somebody that you're not. You're not even D.D. Gregorius. Just be you, Volpe. Stop trying to do too much. It's literally what's going on. You're doing too much. You're letting the outside noise affect you. You're letting people on social media get to you. Stop.
It's New York, man. That happens. It happens. Just
play your game. Your game is built on speed, slapping the ball to all fields. You have a little power. That's great. We don't need that from you. You've proven to you've been able to knock in runs. Focus on that. It was another thing he did tonight. Runner on second, no outs. Guess what he does? Hits the ball to right field. Moves the runner to third.
There you go.
Do the little things.
I got a fun scenario for you. Could you imagine the reaction if, come trade deadline, the Yankees cut ties with him and add him to a package to go pick up somebody?
That somebody better be somebody.
For everything you just said about Volpe, I don't know. Again.
He's still a young player with some sort of defensive talent, some sort of offensive talent. If you give him a decent offensive team, he has the ability to knock in some runs. I will give him that. If he's not going to do that, then he's useless.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, listen, he's doing that now. He's on pace, you said, almost 90 RBIs for the season. So, I mean, I don't know.
But their biggest problem this whole losing streak has been getting guys on base and not being able to drive them in. He's part of that equation. So the 90 RBIs, you know, you could have had a big week this week.
Yeah.
And he didn't, so I don't really know if he's going to get to 90 RBIs. He's at 44. I could see maybe 70, 75, 90. 90 is like, wow, we had a great season. But I'm not going to condone hitting 230. You're a number one pick.
So 235, 15 home runs, 92 RBIs. You're not taking it?
I'm taking it, but if he's going to mix in 25 errors, shit, man.
How about
92 RBIs?
92 RBIs, because he's at 9, you said, right?
If he only makes 5 more errors for the rest of the season, then he had a phenomenal second half defensively. And that's what I want, Mike, honestly. That's what I want.
I don't think that's too tall of a task. I really don't.
No, it's not, but he's got to prove it to me.
That's fair.
Go out and prove it.
Earn that top 10 jersey sale. What are you doing here?
And you know what the crazy part is? Is that, yes, Aaron Judge is struggling, right? He's allowed to struggle. He's hitting 370.
Yeah.
For the sake of God.
Yeah, Volpe and Judge aren't in the same conversation unless.
Yeah, we don't criticize a guy who's been carrying the team since the start of the year, who's leading in almost every offensive category known to man.
Yeah.
Before we criticize Anthony Volpe. Aaron Judge is allowed to struggle. He's allowed to have a rough patch. Anthony Volpe's not allowed to struggle.
He started the season last year in a rough patch, and he won an MVP. He's Aaron Judge. Like you said, he can almost do whatever he wants. I think that's a fair statement.
But
now in the same respect, you also want, when your team is going to struggle, especially with guys on base and not getting them in, you want your big bopper, your big boy to, you know, carry right. things, you know? Right. So it's just frustrating when all the negatives come together, because everyone loves to celebrate when all the positive, when the pitching looks good, the bullpen looks good, the lineup looks good. When all that's together, yeah, everybody's on top of the world. This team is unstoppable. And, you know, then some guys come back down to earth and other things happen. When,
and another guy, Austin, you know, I mean, Wells.
Yeah. What's
215? Come on, what's man.
What's up with him?
Come on. What are we doing?
They don't look great either. I mean, he really doesn't.
Another guy, 45 RBIs, 11 homers. He'll probably end with 22 home runs and 75 RBIs. But you're going to hit 210?
Yeah, that's...
Come on.
Where are the Tony Gwynns? Where are the Tony
Gwynns? I'm not even asking for Tony Gwynn. I'm asking for 250, 260. I'm not asking for Tony Gwynn. I'd be foolish to be asking for guys like Tony Gwynn. They don't make them anymore.
No. I mean, I don't know. Yankee fans, are you as frustrated as our buddy Joe over here? Do you feel the same as far as Anthony Volpe goes? Do you think he's, I don't know, is it all mental? Is it offensive struggles that are making him struggle defensively? Or is it defensive struggles that are making him struggle offensively? You know, he could be thinking about, like we said, with Alvarez before. I think you said it, that he, it looks like he's thinking about his next at bat or his last at bat. What if Volpe's thinking about his last error or his last misplay? Or, you know,
I think it's the first way you said. I think he's thinking about his at bats and it's affecting his defense, because his defense was never in question up until this year.
Yeah, which
so I think
that's crazy.
I think his offensive struggles are affecting his defense, not the other way around.
I think it's a fair thing. Like I said, Yankee fans, in the comments section, hit us with your thoughts on the Yankee struggles, Volpe, Judge's struggles. Outside of Max Fried, I mean, everybody has been relatively mediocre.
No, the pitching's been phenomenal. The pitching has been phenomenal. Carlos Rodon was great the other night. Didn't get a win, couldn't lock it down. The bullpen struggled. Mark Leiter has been a little bit inconsistent.
You got your top two guys.
Fernando Cruz pitched phenomenal. He had a scoreless outing. Ian Hamilton has been very good. Weaver has been good since he's been back. He had that one little mishap, but he's been good.
This is the night of he returned, right?
Yeah, but his last three outings have been good. Devin Williams has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yankee fans were trading him a month ago. They were sending him back to Milwaukee.
And he pitched in the ninth. He's been pitching in the ninth. He looks a lot comfortable.
Luke Weaver injury helped that.
And that was another thing. Aaron Boone hate. Aaron Boone has one problem, Yankee fans. It's how he handles his bullpen. That's what's going to get him fired. If Aaron Boone ever gets fired from this job, it's because it's how he handles the bullpen. Plain and simple. This guy had 3/5 of his starting rotation out and was able to make it work. When it comes to the bullpen, he seems to not hit the right buttons 9 out of 10 times.
You know, it's funny. I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but I feel like I feel like Girardi had some of those problems too with the bullpen.
No, Girardi was too quick to go to the bullpen. He did that with the starters. He would take out a starter that wasn't ready to come out. That was his problem.
Mm.
Boone's problem is he goes with the wrong guy in certain situations. That's where my problem lies with Boone. And that's what's going to get him fired. Because the man has 649 victories as Yankee manager in 6.5 years. So you're not going to tell me it's because he's not winning. He's winning. He's just not doing certain things the way I would like to see them done. Who am I? I'm nobody.
Potentially be looking at a 665 if maybe he, didn't make some of those bullpen mistakes, like you said. So,
right.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting take, because a lot of Yankee fans are calling for his head because they're struggling. I think that's crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, look, honestly, like Yankee fans, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but I'll be the one to do it. If the Yankees fire Aaron Boone, they're just going to hire Aaron Boone with a different name and a different face and a different uniform number. But it's going to be the same stuff. It's going to be a guy that's analytically inclined with the game and wants to focus on that aspect of baseball. And that's the route the Yankees have decided to go. And, you know, that's to me what it's going to be. Maybe there's going to be a different attitude, whatever, but it's going to be analytically driven, in my opinion. I think they've come out and basically said that that's how they operate. So,
so then why fire him? If you're not going to, if you're going to fire Boone, if you're going to fire Boone,
because Yankee fans want to blame somebody, just like we want to blame somebody right now. But you know, our thing is we're crying about the whole Atlanta thing, and we're using that as the crutch in this situation. The Yankee fan crutch right now is fire Boone.
Yeah, but if Cashman fires Boone, you can't hire somebody that's going to have the same. No. Well, he did sign a 2-year extension.
And right, he's not firing him.
If you look at the last three Yankee managers, they all managed for 10 years and then didn't come back.
He's in line for 10 years?
This is year 8. He just signed a 2-year extension. Wow. That brings it, huh? It's a little uncanny, isn't it? Joe Torre, 10 years. Joe Girardi, 10 years. Aaron Boone signs a 2-year extension in year 8. A little weird, no?
Is it going to be 10 years? Maybe.
I think these 2 years are going to be very telling, because if the Yankees wanted Aaron Boone for more than 2 years, they would have gave him 4.
Yeah.
So get ready, Yankee fans. The next 2 years might be very different. You may not see Anthony Volpe, and you may not have Aaron Boone as your manager.
Guys, you heard it here first. Maybe not first, but you heard it here. Yankee fans, like I said, hit us up in the comment section. Light it up. I want to hear your concerns. I want to see your concerns. You obviously hear Joe. He's got his beefs with the team. You think he's right? You think his analysis is correct? I mean, I trust him. I know he knows the game, you know, and most of you out there listening, I could say the same. But what do you guys think? You know,
I also don't want to get it twisted. I'm very happy that this team is still in first with the struggles that we've had. I'm not going to be this guy that's going to go on a rant and bash Volpe, this one, that one.
Oh, come on, Frank the Tank, and bite your shirt. Come
right,
on.
Right, yeah. Let me bite my pen in half right now.
Yeah, flip out. Come on.
But we're still in first. Like I said, it's not a panic button that we're hitting. We're hitting a reset button. This happens every year to every team. Every good team that's a good team finds a way to get past it. So,
yeah, like I said, this is when you want to struggle, because this
right
sets you up for the deadline, and you know what you need. Your issues right have been exposed.
That's a good point. That's
go
a
out
good point.
And fix it.
You don't want to be looking up at September 15th and you're 3-12 in your last 15 games right before the playoffs start. Yeah, let's get this out of the way. Everybody, take a deep breath and a reset. The Yankees won the last game of the series against the Reds. Let's take that into Oakland now, and then I think we have Toronto, and then we're back to playing you guys in the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun series. Hopefully,
both
teams
just take every game. Yeah, and you know what? I think they will. And then when they meet each other, it's going to be a bloodbath, like it always is. But yeah, we just got to play our brand of baseball, getting on base, knocking these guys in, and that's it. And we'll be fine. We were doing it the whole first 75 games until everybody had a panic attack over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Yankee fans, let's just pump the brakes just a little bit. Like we've mentioned, it's a long season. I can tell you somebody that it's not going to be a long season for, and somebody that will be watching the remainder of baseball games from their television. They won't be doing it in a ballpark, not anywhere, anytime soon or near you. That disgusting, gross fan that had those horrible things to say to Ketel Marte last
night. I'm really happy you brought that up. And I'm not understanding what these fans get out of doing stuff like this. First with Jaron Duran, now with Marte. I'm not understanding. You're paying good money, your hard money, to go watch a baseball game, right? If the opposing player hits a home run, you could say whatever you want. It's America. It's a free country, free speech. But do you have to go that low? Do you have to be that low of a scum to talk about someone's mom that died tragically?
Yeah.
In a car accident?
That's not okay with me.
What are you doing? What are you
it's
doing?
Pathetic. It's genuinely pathetic.
And the problem is that one guy ruins it for the rest of the fan base, because now the fan base is going to be viewed as, this is how you guys act.
Yeah.
And that's not true. We know that's not true. But that is just,
I mean,
it's really ridiculous.
It's awful, and it's an awful situation. I mean, for those that maybe have not seen it or read about it yet, you know, there was an incident out the Chicago White Sox Arizona Diamondbacks game where a fan heckled at Ketel Marte and apparently had some choice words about his, you know, his mother that had passed away, I think, in 2017 due to a car accident in the Dominican Republic. And Ketel obviously, you know, took it to heart, rightfully so. That's your mother. And, you know, he was visibly upset. He had cried in the dugout. He needed consolement. He had cried out on the field. I mean, you're unlocking a memory for a guy that's just trying to do his job, you know, trying to play the sport that he loves the most and do what he's got to do. And you have some ignorant fan that wants to play that card, which I don't get it. I hope, you know, I mean, I'm glad that he's banned from all of these stadiums. That's awesome. You know, get him out
of
there.
Whatever happened to just like heckling, like regular heckling?
Yeah, regular stuff. What are we going to suck?
Yeah, like you suck or oh yeah. What? Like you got to go, you got to hit below the belt?
Like what are you doing? Are you sitting there Googling info about these players to find out what's going to hurt the most? Like what are we doing here?
I'm just not understanding.
These players are human beings?
Like, no, they don't.
I understand it's an entertainment thing. I understand we go there for our enjoyment, and that's totally fine. But at what point does it allow you to feel, you know what? I could say and do whatever I want. I'm a total jackass. I'm gonna go on my phone. Oh wow, Ketel's mom died 8 years ago. I'm gonna say something about it.
Yes.
What possesses you to be that low and that?
And I thought after the whole Durant incident in Cleveland and Boston,
maybe this would have kind of taken
that. This would just not happen again, and it doesn't. A month and a half later, here we are talking about it again. Like what?
Like I said,
what are we doing?
Yeah, this fan is gone, banned from all major league stadiums.
Like to the point where it's like, you want to hear something funny? When I first saw the clip, I thought he got hurt.
Yeah,
I thought he hurt something, and like. He thought he was going to be out. And then I'm like, well, he's standing up. He doesn't look hurt. And I actually had to keep digging to see that his mother was actually being made fun of. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Horrible thing. Horrible
this
thing.
This is really what we're going through? I mean, I know you're a White Sox fan. I know it's been tough. But nah. Do you have to, like, you have to stoop to that level?
Nah.
Jesus.
No, nah,
it's unbelievable to me.
I have no room for things like that. I mean, you're crossing lines and boundaries that don't need to be crossed. Like I said, these guys they're human beings under those uniforms. They're people. You know, they have outside lives. They have things that happen in their outside life. You know, I mean, look at us. We've had issues trying to get a recording up in 2 weeks. And nothing that we're going through detrimental, nothing along those lines. It's just life happens, you know. Like you said, we have kids. We have things that we're, you know, doing outside of here. We have work. You know, and it gets tough. Could you imagine dealing with something like that? And you know what? You kind of got to table it because I got a game tonight. I got a game tonight. I got a game tomorrow. I got a doubleheader on Friday because, you know, it's a makeup. Like, I mean, come on. You know, let these guys be people.
And not that any way of dying is good, but his mom died in a car accident.
Tragically. I mean, that's like, tragically. It's a horrible story.
And you're literally getting at the guy for that?
You're bringing that up? You're bringing
that up,
the audacity.
We got to be better as people. What the hell's going on?
The audacity.
I've never been to a game and got at the opposition on a personal level. Never.
No.
I've just never done that. And I've said some crazy things, but it was never about a guy's wife, about a guy's children, about a guy's parents, siblings, people dying. Like, what are we doing? It's baseball, guys. It's baseball.
Right. And like, it's not even like, and not that this really matters, but it's not even like the Diamondbacks and the White Sox have this like heated rivalry.
Right. This heated,
you know,
yeah. Like they've met in the World Series or something. Like, and even if it was a heated rivalry,
Del Monte's one of the best second basemen in baseball.
Right. Right. But you know what?
On.
There's just ignorance is just something that's never going to go away. And you know what?
Another thing, even if he was the worst second baseman in baseball, there's no room for that.
No, there's no room for that.
Absolutely not. Folks, what do you think? Is this not ridiculous? How does a fan do that?
We shouldn't even be asking this question. We shouldn't even be asking what they think. If you're if you're a normal person who uses their head, this is abnormal.
Right.
These are adults acting like not even kids do this. Talking about someone's mother dying? Like, God, guys.
It's honestly pathetic. It's genuinely pathetic. You have to be so miserable with yourself that's the lengths that you would go to.
That's all it is. Personal misery. Or
because your team is losing? White Sox fans, you and I'm not trying to take a shot at a White Sox fan because it's one person.
But this has been the norm. It's been the norm for you for quite a while, losing. Right? So this is not something new that you've had to deal with.
So, you know, I mean, what are we saying? I can't. That was horrible. But you know what? Listen, shout out to the White Sox organization. Shout out to the fan base that was there the next day that did the right thing. They gave Cattell a standing ovation. They put something up on the board. You know, the White Sox stand with you, Cattell Marte. I thought that was fantastic. It was fabulous. It was a good way to show, you know, some sense of good faith.
They had no choice. They had to do something.
Yeah, no, of course they did. But, you know, I'm glad that they at least acknowledged it, especially the organization and the fans. You know, the fans don't have to do anything. They don't owe anybody anything outside of maybe not crossing some boundaries. But they didn't have to do that, and I'm glad that the fan base did that. You know, kind of like leave this guy behind. We don't claim him. He's not one of us. This is who we are. You know, the 48 fans that were there, respect to them. I don't mean to do that. It just happened. Oh. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen. You know what? When you do things like that, you gotta expect a little bit of a blowback. So yeah, what you just said wasn't even a blip on a radar compared to what this jackass said.
It's me having a little fun.
See, there's a difference of having a little fun and then hitting below the belt.
You know what? And it's just such a dark and disgusting situation that I just have to try to find a way to laugh. You know, but again, in all seriousness, shout out to that fan base the next day. You know, they did the right thing in my book. You know, I don't group this guy and say, wow, these are White Sox fans. This is who they are. I don't look at things like that. You know, sometimes they're just mean and awful people. And it's just, you know, what are you going to do?
It's the truth.
And they expose themselves. If you allow these people to talk and act, eventually they'll let you know who they are. So. You know, like I said, I'm glad MLB stepped in pretty much immediately. He's banned across all Major League Baseball. Will never be in another ballpark ever again. Good for him. I hope what you did was worth it, that you stooped to those levels and you crossed boundaries with somebody. Again, it's a person. Cattell Marte is not a Diamondbacks player. He's a human being.
Yeah, and I'm glad. And you know what? I hope the White Sox become good again and you can ever experience some good baseball at your home park. So congratulations.
That's, you know.
Hope it was worth it.
Yeah, really.
We should start doing like a Jackass of the Week segment.
There you go.
There's just so many. You can get one every week.
No, I just got to watch Frank the Tank maybe a little bit.
That's what we got to do. About
the Mets.
Yeah.
But, guys, look. Not to end this on a bad note. I mean, you know, like I said, we're trying to go away from things like that, but it was something we couldn't ignore. But we have the thing that you guys stay on so long listening for, our trivia question of the episode.
Trivia time.
Joe, you want to take this one?
I'll take it, man. I'll take it.
Go ahead. People know.
This one was wild. I know we were going over a bunch of things, and this one came across me, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty insane. Just the whole structure of this question. But
okay.
The trivia question goes as follows. Who's the only player to hit a walk-off Grand Slam home run inside the park? I'll say that one more time for the fellas and the bells in the back. Who's the only player to hit a walk-off Grand Slam inside the park home run to win a game? This let is us know really in the comments.
Yeah, this is a good one.
This is wild. But what's more wild to me is how do you lose on an inside the park grand slam?
That's got to be a horrible feeling.
That's got to be brutal.
Yeah, that's got to be.
That means you were up like two or three runs and you just imploded on.
Yeah.
Like, what was the outfielders doing? I'd love to see, like, if the cutoff man was hit. Like, I wish this play was filmed. I'd really like that.
Now that I know this, I'm gonna see if I gotta see this clip. I gotta see how that played out. It's interesting.
It's gotta be pretty. That's the question. Let us know the comments of the podcast, guys.
Yeah, please, guys, in the comment section, like we've been begging you, throw us your answer, whether you get it right or wrong. None of that matters. It's just some fun. Unless you're real serious and you want to hear your name get shouted out on every episode that, you know, you answered correctly. But either way, we appreciate you guys so much for the comments. We appreciate, like I said, you guys rose to the occasion in a huge way. So, again, from the both of us, we thank you. And, guys, like always, thanks for hanging out.
This is the Diamond Discussions Podcast.